Thank you for being here today. And today's sermon is entitled, Don't Shame His Name. Kind of rhymes. I'm proud of that a little bit. No. Let me ask you this question. Does anyone ever mispronounce your name? Let me see hands. Okay, put them back down. Does the pastor mispronounce your name? Go ahead. Come on. I still, Stinnett. I've been saying Stinnett all along, and it's Stinnett, so there's an example, all right? Anybody ever misspell your name? Come on. Yes, all right, wow. Boy, you guys are look angry this morning. Anybody ever mock your name? What's my last name? Morin, it's not a big name now, but when I was growing up, what was Morin close to? Moron, until the ninth grade. And I took care of that guy, and everybody else left me alone after that. I'm sorry, I was carnal. I worked him over good, and then moron went away. All right, some of you youngsters, you don't even know what that word is, but anyway. Name is interesting. Well, let me tell you this. In 2012, a man from Washington State was charged with stealing a rare coin collection worth at least $100,000 from a family after doing some part-time work for a woman. Initially, this guy denied involvement in it, but then he started spending the coins at face value. Apparently, he was unaware of the coin's worth. He bought movie tickets using quarters worth between $5 and $68. Those are expensive tickets. And even worse, later at a local pizza joint, he purchased a pizza with coins, including a Liberty quarter worth thousands of dollars. That's crazy, isn't it? To think, man, he just didn't know. He was unaware. Well, just as he was ignorant and treated valuable coins as common, many people today, knowing full well what they are doing, treat the Lord's name as if it were common or of little value, or even face value. You see, some people, listen closely, some people think that God's first name is By. You get it? And his last name is Damn. That's what some people think. You see, I think almost of all, maybe, not quite, but almost of all the commandments, God's top 10 that we look at today, this the general public, folks maybe who haven't read the Bible, don't have any kind of church background, they never think that this is even a commandment. They never stop to think that what they might doing might be a severely bad thing. And unfortunately, sometimes their speech is not that much different than the so-called Christian. Now, before we go any farther, I realize that many people were saved and had to get a new language. Some of you guys could probably profess to that. Maybe you were in the military or something else, and when God saved you, all of a sudden, you didn't have a lot to say because your language had to change, right? I'll never forget one of my dear friends in Bloomfield. He got radically saved, and he ran a company, an oil field company, and it took him a while to get new speech and a new language because of all those years of doing it. So we're going to look at this commandment. It's Exodus 20, verse 7. So let's read verse 7 and take a look. Do not misuse the name of the Lord your God, because the Lord will punish anyone who misuses his name. That seems pretty straightforward, doesn't it? Well, let's talk about it. Would you pray with me? God, I ask that you would speak to us today. Help us see that there's so much to this commandment. There's so much that you want to do in our lives. There's such a great work that you continually want to do in our lives. So may we be open to hearing from you and your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, I would start by saying this. God's name is so important to him that it makes the top 10. It seems trivial almost, but it is so important that when God breathed out these 10 commandments back in that day long ago with Moses on the mountain, and here it comes the Ten Commandments that, wow, there it is. Actually, third commandment right there. It's so important to him that it makes a top ten. Why? Because these top ten are what God wants his family to live by. Well, you might say today, well, what's the big deal, Lamar? Preacher, what's the big deal? Well, did you catch it? It says, do not misuse the name of what? The Lord your God. We've talked about that already once, haven't we? And here it is again. You see, his name is the name of the Lord our God. So listen closely if you profess to be a follower of God, a follower of Christ, because he is your God and his name is important. Jesus taught on this. You remember the Sermon on the Mount we went through? And we had a pull-out series within the Sermon on the Mount. It was about the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And you'll recall Matthew 6, 9, Jesus speaks, he's teaching, and he says, pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. I've heard it, hallowed be your name, right? The word hallowed is an archaic English word used to translate a form of a Greek word, which means to make holy. So some translations have it in there. Your name is what? Holy. That's how we're supposed to pray. It's what Jesus taught us to do. This word is associated with the adjective hagios. Hagios is usually translated holy. But listen to what it means. Hallowed be your name. To be different or separate. So we can know God's name is different. God's name is separate. To give a unique and special place to something or someone. Listen, your name may not be Lamar Howard Morin. Consider yourself lucky. I don't know, maybe your name, I don't know. I might joke and laugh at your name. But God's name is unique. It is one of a kind. It is different than any name that we have or anyone we know. So when we pray, hallowed be your name, here's what we're doing. We are attributing to God, God Almighty, the holiness that is already in him and already his and always has been his. We said holy, holy, holy at the beginning when I got up here, but let's just remember that. God has always been holy, right? He's holy right now. And forever, the song we sang about it, forever he will be what? Holy. And his name is holy. If you need to go anywhere in Scripture, just go to Jesus, Matthew 6, when he says, pray this way. Make sure God's name is holy. Hallowed be his name. Wow. Let me share just a summary of Scripture about God's name. Listen, we could be here all morning and afternoon if we listed every Scripture about God's name. You might want to do a study sometime. It's quite interesting. But here's my summary. Are you ready? I want you to think about this. Point number one is this. What's in a name? Well, God's name is special. And from Scripture, we get this. Here's some things about God's name. It will endure forever. It is great. It is holy and revered. It is eternal. It contains security. We sing praises to God's name, give glory and exalt it. We trust in it, wait on it, love his name, seek it, rejoice in it, pray and call upon it, give thanks to it. We gather in his name. We suffer for his name, we baptize in his name, and are saved through his name. Wow. Think about that for a minute. Our God is great, is he not? Even his name is worthy to be praised. Let me share just a few scriptures with you. John 1:12. But to all who did receive him, who what? Believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no one else. For there is, you know it, no other name under heaven given to people. And we must be saved by it. Romans 10:13, I love this one. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Do you see how name is in there? The name of God is in there every time. 1 John 5:13. I have written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. You want to know you have eternal life? Well, you believe in the name of the Son of God. That's the name of God. Isn't that pretty special? Isn't that set apart? Isn't that unique? One of a kind? It sure is. Even though in our society, for the most part, we devalue names. Most people wander around, their parents thought it was a cool name, or they forgot to pick a name, I don't know, or it was on a little baby book list, or sounded cool, or hey, let me spell it this way. Some of y'all are still bitter about that, aren't you? Your parents said, let's be unique, let us spell it this way. And you're the one who gets the misspell all the time. Yeah, so we don't value that as much, but God does. And back in the day, these people did. It's amazing. That's the name of God. Hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. All these things occur by and for and through your name. Why can we say that? Because his name is his essence. You see, this is why we cannot misuse his name. Right? In the old version, what does it say? Don't take his name in vain. That's a little confusing, but let's talk about it for a minute. Listen, we are to take his name with us, not take it in vain. Now think about that for a minute. We're to take his name with us, but not take it in vain. Take means to carry or bear. Vain means empty, meaningless, thoughtless, senseless, frivolous, worthless, groundless. That pretty much describes it all, doesn't it? You see, vain, it gives the picture or it gives the idea of a vapor that fades and vanishes away. There it goes. A vapor that is then meaningless, it's worthless. It also has the idea of a storm. Think of a tornado, which is erratic. It's jumping from here to there. Some of y'all, I know, you're from Oklahoma, all those places, and you know about it. And there, that touches down and then touches down. I know because I've seen the movie, all right? It touches down and jumps around, okay? That gives that idea as well. Jumping around, causing senseless destruction and devastation. Isn't that interesting? That's what the command is talking about. Don't do it. Don't be careless. Don't be frivolous. Don't be senseless. Don't be meaningless or worthless. Don't jump here and there or just pop off here and there and cause senseless destruction and devastation. So this command has the clear idea of not taking God's name falsely or using it meaninglessly. Well, how do people do that? Well, here's three ways that I think this command is clearly disobeyed. So three things should be in your sermon notes. Number one is this, profanity. Well, what is that? Well, here's a quick definition of that. That is using the name of God in blasphemy and cursing. Profanity, okay? Second, frivolity. I love that word. Using the name of God in a superficial or even stupid way. Third, hypocrisy, claiming the name of God but acting in a way that disgraces him. See, there's more to it than we thought, huh? Some of y'all knew and you came in and said, he's going to talk about my cussing. There's a lot more than cussing here, okay? We've got the frivolity and we've got the hypocrisy and we need to look at it. I hope it will speak to you. This study has spoken to me. We all can do better. We all can serve the Lord better. We all can hallow his holy name better. So let's start with the first one, profanity. This one's the easy one. It's often the first thought on this command, right? You see that? Do not misuse or don't take the Lord's name in vain. Don't most of us, we just think of cussing, right? Profanity. We do, and it's all over. Listen, it's all over our society. I remember years ago, you could walk into a classroom or even a teacher's lounge, and it was somewhat civil conversation. Don't try it today. And in the hospital, it used to be there professionalism and certain things going on, right? My wife worked at a hospital. Listen, some of those nurses cuss better than a sailor on a ship that's been out to sea for 9 months. It's unbelievable. We see it everywhere, right? I see it even in fast food joints. I went into a fast food joint a while back. It's been a while now. And I just wanted to be waited on. And they were just bleep, 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 bleep to the point I had to say, hey, I would like to order, but you got to stop talking like that. I can't even figure out my order because of what you're saying. Oh, we're sorry. We're sorry. See, it's perverse. It invades every area of our society. Profanity. It is the cursing, abusive, bitter, blasphemous use of God's name or of any God's creation. Now, cursing as a whole, I don't think is good, but here we're specifically talking about using God's name. There was a little girl attending Sunday school for the very first time. She'd never been, and it was Christmas, and she listened to the teacher tell the Christmas story. That sounds pretty awesome, doesn't it? She sat quietly and was pondering as she heard about the angels and the shepherd. Teacher even brought in the wise men. Then the teacher added this. She quoted scripture and said this, and they shall call his name Jesus. And the little girl objected and said to the person next to her, why did they have to name the baby a swear word? You see, all she had ever heard, the name Jesus used as a swear word. Think about it. It's the first time she had heard the name Jesus in a context like that. Well, you know what the words are, don't you? I don't have to say them, do I? Is it okay if I don't say them? This is being recorded and live streamed, and I would prefer not to go down throughout history because once it's on the internet, it never goes away. Think about that before you post. It never goes away, okay? I don't have to say them, but we know them. One of my favorite preachers of all time is Adrian Rogers, and he wrote this in one of his books. Listen, he wrote it, not your pastor, okay? But I can say it because he wrote it, all right? So if I'm calling you a knucklehead, don't get mad at him, okay? When you use profanity, it shows two things, an empty head and a wicked heart. Boom. You see, profanity reveals a feeble mind trying to express itself. But it also reveals a wicked heart truly expressing itself. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, Jesus said in Matthew 12:34. A profane mouth reveals a profane heart. Wow. I didn't say it. Adrian Rogers said it. And then Vance Havner, I love him. He's so quick and concise. He says, what's down in the well comes up in the bucket. Think about that. I say it this way. Yeah, bump a guy hard enough and you'll find out what's inside of him and what by what comes out. So let us think. We laugh, but let us really think about that. Let us really allow God to speak into our life. You see, swearing, besides cussing, there's more to swearing. It includes perjury. Are you familiar with that? Perjury, in this case, a spiritual sense, is as if we're calling God to witness a lie. The perjurer is a thief. He robs the innocent of his right to justice. He perverts justice. He causes the jury to pass a false sentence. New Testament Christians are not to swear any oaths to anyone, to any lodges, or to any secret societies. False swearing may take place before a neighbor, a business partner, a wife or husband, or a judge or jury. But we're not supposed to do it. You see, it's more than just cuss words. Listen to James 5:12. Above all, isn't that interesting? Not if you think about it. Not ponder this sometime when you got nothing better to do. No, James writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God in our Bible that God has preserved for us. He says, above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear. Not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. And then I love the rest of the verse because I'm like, okay, what do we do? All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. And we know other places in the Bible, don't we? Let your yes be what? Yes, and your no be no. So, yes, obviously cussing, no. Taking the Lord's name in vain in that way, no, of course not. But also dealing with swearing as well. So let's move on because we could spend a lot of time, but I want to get on to the other points. The second one I want us to look at is frivolity. What is that? It's simply flippant use of God's name. I'm going to give you an example. I'm just going to use the letters. OMG. I've been convicted about that. I don't even want to write OMG. Do you know what OMG stands for? If you don't, ask the person next to you and they'll whisper it to you. And they'll look at you like where you've been. This is part of the breaking the command, though. This is going to hit some of y'all, all right? It's hit me. It's frivolous that we would do that. When we speak irreverently of God's name, we take it in vain. OMG doesn't count. Or other things. I've heard these things, and just some of them. Listen, God is not the old man upstairs, okay? That's frivolous. Don't do it. Hallowed be your name. We shouldn't even do that. I got some of you there. He's not sweet Jesus. I've heard that before. We should not say, oh God. I think there was even a movie entitled that. We should not even say this, you Southerners. Lord have mercy. I know what you mean, but we're using God's name. We don't have to do that. Don't utter God Almighty unless you are quoting the scripture. And don't say Jesus unless you're referring to God the Son. We've got to be careful with that. Many of us are guilty of this one, and we can do better. Instead, let our attitude be one of respect and reverence. Well, how do I work on this, Lamar? How do I work on frivolity? Listen, constantly ask, bathe it in prayer, seek the scriptures, and beg of God, God, help my attitude to be more of respect for you and reverence for you. Listen. I know of Christians in the military barracks that respect and revere God's name. Yes, they stick out like a sore thumb. Yes, people persecute them for it, but they can do it. It can also be done in the oil field, the gas fields of which I'm familiar with. People can do it. So don't come to me and say, well, I grew up that way, or well, I served here, or I work here. No. What a great opportunity with speech to be different. It might be winsome, and you know the phrase I stole from Greg Laurie, let us be winsome in order that we might win some. Even our speech could help put into someone's mind the idea, there's something to this God thing. Man, he or she thinks even his name is holy. What is going on with that? You see, when God's name is used, it is always to be in a reverent way. Any use of God's name that is not reverent, that is not in prayer or praise or witness or worship, it's wrong. It just is. All the prayers that carelessly and repetitiously use God's name in a thoughtless and meaningless way are wrong. So let me just stop and say that. You can't chant his name. It can't be a mantra. You can't thoughtlessly just do it. And we have habits, don't we? Do you really mean you say, Lord this, Lord that all the time? So we need to be careful with that, you know, that we're not just flippantly doing that or thoughtlessly. Maybe it's not intentional, but we're doing this. Lord do this, Lord do that. Lord bless, Lord help, all those things. It's okay to do that, but if we really are thinking about it and really are invoking the name of God in a respectful and reverential way. Well, let's move on to hypocrisy. Here we go. This is the one that's going to get most of us. Hypocrisy. Here's a great definition I came across. When you can get a three-word definition, you are on to something, all right? Here's what hypocrisy is. Words without practice. Man, I love that. Why couldn't I thought of that years ago? Words without practice. You see, using God's name when there's no genuine faith or commitment is a violation of this commandment. Now, this might happen in corporate worship as people mouth songs without actually thinking about God. That's why I get up here quite often and I might say something about one of the songs that we did. And I said, do you mean those words? Don't sing them if you don't mean them, because we just put it on autopilot. Listen, that could be hypocrisy. Worshiping with our lips, but not our heart. That's just one example. In our world outside the church walls, of course, we might think of countless politicians, right? Have you seen some of these guys and gals? They invoke the name of God to support selfish interpretation of their efforts, as well as in the proposals that they seek to make. Listen, don't live that way, don't be that way, don't think that way and believe that way, and all of a sudden just to get my vote, or all of a sudden to get me to join this or that, or just to be my friend, you invoke the Lord's name here and there. Don't do that. You see, the hypocritical speaker is a person who professes the name of God, but lives for self and the world. Now, we're all guilty of that at some point. Come on. Probably already this year, we're only a couple months almost in, and we've had a few hours or a day or whatever where we live for self, right? That's a battle that we deal with, or live for the world. So we have to be careful with that, because don't profess the name and then do that. You see, he or she is a person who uses God's name to manipulate people. I've seen that as well. That's hypocrisy. We don't use God's name to get what we want. It's a person who uses God's name to secure support for projects that are not necessary in God's will. Ooh, that hits Christian leaders, doesn't it? That can hit church leaders. Well, I feel like the Lord has led us to this. Really? You better be sure if you're going to use that. Well, I feel like the Lord has led us to build this. Okay, really? Are you sure? Or do you just want to do it? Or you think it would be a good idea? What are we good at, church? What are Christians good at? We make our plans, and then we go and pray to God and do what? We ask God to do what? God, will you go ahead and bless those plans? Man, I have done that so many times. Constantly we have to remind ourselves, go before the Lord, seek the Lord before we get everything worked out, right? And cross all the T's and dot all the I's. So we need to be careful with that. That's this hypocritical speaker. It's also a person who uses God's name to secure followers. Man, I've seen this on TV. Even to deceive people. Church, I would advise you, listen closely. Don't go out here and say, I said you never can say some of these phrases. I'm not saying that, but be very careful with the phrase, God revealed this to me. I'm not saying you can't say it, but be very careful with it. You better be 100% sure, double dog sure, that God really revealed that to you. Or that God told me. Man, I've heard that so many times. I've had people come up to me, Christians, and say, well, God told me this. And I'm like, what? Well, I didn't say it, but I thought it. And then I said it because I'm like, wait, that goes against Scripture. God, no way God's telling you that, okay? Often to achieve an agenda or whatever. So we need to be careful in that. Let me help you with the Sermon on the Mount again. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Listen closely to this. This is the penultimate passage about hypocritical speaking of the Lord and his name, which I think breaks his commandment. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. Do you see how God's name is being used right there? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But the one who does the will of my Father will, who is in heaven. On that day, and this is talking about judgment day. On that day, many will say to me, here it is again, Lord, Lord. Now, maybe you never thought of these phrases about God's name. But since we're talking about it, look how clear this is. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Furthermore, 2 Timothy 2:19. 2 Timothy 2:19 says this, nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, having this inscription, the Lord knows those who are his. And everyone who names the name of the Lord must turn away from unrighteousness. It's that repentance, isn't it? That happens at salvation, but it needs to happen over and over again. Finally, Titus 1:16, just a few verses here. They profess. That's the idea of speaking, all right? Not writing it down, but speech. They profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, and disqualified for any good work. Others use the name of God to strengthen a lie. Others pray to the Lord, but do not believe in him. I think it's clear, and we can see hypocrisy is perhaps the biggest deal when it comes to this commandment for Christians. Maybe you have an issue with profanity. I would pray that you would seek God to do a work in your life, because he's done it in thousands and probably hundreds of thousands. Maybe frivolity. Maybe you're going to say, I'm going to quit doing OMG or whatever it is. But perhaps for almost all of us, it's this hypocritical speech. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. And I would say, I'm not writing scripture, but let every word that comes out of my mouth and your mouth be thoughtful, respectful, and reverential when it comes to the name of God. Now, we're going to close here in just a minute, but look at the second part of the verse. You thought I would never get to it, but it doesn't just say don't do it. It says what happens if you break it. Let's look at it again. Do not misuse the name of the Lord your God, because the Lord will punish anyone who misuses his name. Is that clear enough? Listen, if I misuse his name in any of these ways, and I've done them over my lifetime in all of these ways, the Lord will punish. Okay? Matthew 12, 36 and 37 states it this way. Matthew 12, 36, 37. I tell you that on the day of judgment, people will have to give an account of their actions. That's not what that scripture says. They will have to give an account for every careless word they speak. Wow. This is Jesus speaking. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. It's a big deal. There's a reason that this idea of God's name made it into God's top 10. Instead of misusing God's name, let us do what Scripture encourages us to do. You'll remember Psalm 100, one of the great psalms. Verse 4, it says this, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. That's what we're to do. That's what we're supposed to do. So I ask you, where are you today? Where are you today in all this? Come right on up. I'll give you the microphone. You tell everyone. No, I'm not asking you to do that. But as you sit, don't just sit and be thoughtless and go through the motions and wait till the service is over. But let's think about what God's word says about all this. Where are you today? What is God speaking into your heart today? How are you being convicted today? I've been convicted. None your business what it is. No, I've been convicted. Okay, so think about that. Where are you today? And even a more loaded question would be this. Is your testimony, your personal testimony, is your Christian testimony? Now, we talk about testimonies all the time, don't we? We got the one-minute witness. We've got relational evangelism. We've got testimony with Scripture, testimony without Scripture. There's all kinds of way that we can have our personal testimony and share it. But is your testimony affected by your words? Not your words when you're giving your testimony, when you're giving the witness about what God has done in your life to someone else, but before that and after that, is your testimony being affected by your words? One of the strangest moments in boxing history occurred in the 1930s. Listen, don't send me email because I mention boxing, all right? Some people think it's the sweet science. Some of you think it's of the devil, okay? That's not the point. It's an illustration. There was a very strange moment that occurred in the 1930s when it came to boxing. From LSU, a giant of a man standing 6 feet, 6 inches tall, his name was C.D. Blaylock, and he was in the boxing match. And he took a mighty swing at his opponent, but he missed, and he ended up hitting himself. His punch missed his target, and it collided with his own face. He staggered, and then he fell down. He became the only prize fighter to score a knockout against himself. Is that crazy? Look it up. 1930s. Now listen to this. I wonder if sometimes our Christian influence suffers the same fate when we misuse God's name in any of these ways. We end up knocking out ourselves. Now, as we finish up, I do want to say to some of you listening online, some of you right here today, it doesn't really matter what you say. If you don't know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, if you don't have a personal relationship with God, with Jesus, the Holy Spirit's not living in your life, you might offend me, but it really doesn't matter. For you, if you're seeking God, if God has not yet saved you, if you don't have that relationship with Him, the most important words you could ever say are words of repentance. God, I run to you, confessing my sin. My way doesn't work. I want your way. Please forgive me of my sin. Please take over my life, transform it, save me, and be the Lord of my life, the boss of my life. So I want to tell you that. And there's no time condition. There's no date that it has to be done in Scripture. In fact, what does Scripture say about salvation? Today is the day of salvation. If God is tugging at your heart, He's the one doing it, He's the one who saves, and He leads you to that, don't wait, follow. Those are the words that need to happen. Those are the words that had to happen for every Christian. Words of submission. Humble words asking God to forgive and save. I hope that you would do that today. How you doing? Is your testimony affected by your words? Have you thought about the things that come out of your mouth? If I bumped you today real hard in the hallway, what might come out? What's in our hearts? Let's pray. Lord, we're grateful for these commandments. We don't just find them as archaic and something that was spoken out by you to your people eons ago and up on a mountain. God, we find them still today to be relevant, to be part of Scripture, even to see Jesus Himself comment on them. So God, I pray today that we would just consider what we're saying. God, I pray that we would be exciting, fun Christians, full of joy and life, and at the same time that we would be reverent and respectful about your name. And people would notice because we're different. God, I pray that you would help us. I pray today that someone might use their words to confess their sin to God, to ask Him to save them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.